Good morning and welcome to this 10 o'clock Holy Communion service here at All Saints. This morning we continue the Heavenly Encounters series of sermons, and Paul's going to come and talk to us a little bit later in the service. Now, there are a few notices and I've made a note of them. So there are ongoing some summer connecting events, and for those of you that haven't got the electronic missive that comes through every Friday, Thursday, I have a list here of the events, but they are on the website if you wish to have a look. So if you want to have a look at something on paper, it's here. And the other thing is tonight at 6 o'clock here at All Saints is the Deeper at Six service. So that's 6 o'clock here at All Saints. If you fancy coffee, come a little bit earlier, and have a chat first. But yeah, the service is at 6 o'clock here at All Saints. Now, Peter has a notice for us.
Some of you will know Alan Pardo, who was a lay reader here 35 years ago and has more recently been worshipping at the Priory and has been worshipping here with us for the last couple of weeks, having decided that he would return to this church. Whether you have known him for those 35 years like we have, or whether you have met him recently over the last couple of weeks as he worshipped with us, you will be sad to hear that he was actually found dead at home yesterday morning. I know very few details other than that it appears that he got up in the night to go to the bathroom and was found lying in the bathroom yesterday morning. So sad though it is, Alan led a good life. He was a great lay reader when we first moved into this church and has been a friend ever since. And whilst it is really sad, he would not have wanted a long and lingering end. And if he has been called to heaven, we look forward to meeting up with him again in due course. End of notice.
So let us just, in a moment of your silence, just lift Alan to God. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Alan, for all the joy that he had inside him, for all the words of affirmation and support, and just a joy of life. We know that you're going to have great fun with him, and we look forward to meeting up again and continuing our chats that we all started with him. Amen. Right then. So welcome everybody here. Welcome everybody on the internet, either now or in a bit. Whenever you join us, it's good to have you. So we're going to open today's service with a few prayers. So let us remember this morning the various Christian communities meeting to praise God, those whom are allowed to meet in freedom and those very many who have to meet in secret. So we stand before the throne of God with countless crowds from every nation and race, tribe and language. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honour, power and might be to our God for ever and ever. Amen. God of our days and years, we set this time apart for you. Form us in the likeness of Christ, so that our lives may glorify you. Amen. I'm going to, before we sing our first couple of hymns, I want to share something. Because we're all here looking to encounter God. Well, I hope we're all here looking to encounter God. I most certainly am. So I'd like to think that we are all here. And this is from a wonderful book that I was given for Christmas a few years ago, A Time to Reflect. And it says, these are the words of St. John of the Cross. If you are seeking after God, you may be sure of this. God is seeking you much more. He is the lover, and you are his beloved. He has promised himself to you. The longing in your soul is actually his doing. You may feel only the smallest desire for him. There may be no emotion about it at all. But the reason your desire rises at all is because he is passing very near to you. His holy beauty comes near you like a spiritual scent, and it stirs your drowsing soul. I tell you again, it's not of your doing at all, this moment when your soul awakens. He creates in you the desire to find him and run after him, to follow wherever he leads you, and to press peacefully against his heart, wherever he is. These moments are also ordered of God and are sent by him in his timing. So holding those words in our hearts, let us stand and sing worship to God in the words of Come, Now is the Time for Worship. Please stand. Please have a seat. So we listen to that small tickle of desire to meet with God, and we come before Him with all the things that we know we need to learn from this week. Seeing we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and make our confession to our Heavenly Father. So let's just have a moment or two to let the Holy Spirit give us a nudge on those things we really need to give to God and learn from. If you'd like to join in the words on the screen. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. So may the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. So we pull all our thoughts together in this affirmation of faith. If you'd like to join in with the words on the screen. You, O God, are supreme and holy. You create our world and give us life. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You have always been with us. You are God. You, O God, are infinitely generous, good beyond all measure. You came to us before we came to you. You have revealed and proved your love for us in Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again. You are God. You, O God, are Holy Spirit. You empower us to be your gospel in the world. You reconcile and heal. You overcome death. You are our God. We worship you. And now, patience is going to come and bring us our readings. And as Pope Francis says, we are to listen to the word of God, listen with our ears, but hear with our heart.
The readings this morning are taken from Genesis chapter 1, starting at the first verse, and then Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Genesis 21, verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. As the child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham was mocking, and she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly, because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatsoever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered into the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us to believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Paul. Lord, we pray for Paul. We thank you for all that you have given him to share with us. And we pray that you will open up our hearts to hear you speak through him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jackie. Bless you. Thank you. Last week we had a wonderful message from Jeff, and do you remember he showed Djokovic, the tennis player, various other role models, and he said, who is your role model? And his last week were Abraham and Sarah. Well, our role model today is Hagar, Abraham and Hagar. Our 8-year-old grandchild has fallen in love with women's football. And her big question when we watched Spain and we were on the phone to each other was, Grandpa, who is the underdog? And I said, well, I think against Spain, England are. We won, didn't we? Even though we were 1-0 down to start with, 2-1. Then Sweden, Grandpa, who is the underdog? And Sweden are very good. I said, well, I think we are. 4-0, we win. And we watched that together for 2 hours. 8-year-old. And today she'll be saying the same thing. Grandpa, who is the underdog? I'm not sure, if I'm honest with you. I can tell you who the underdog is in the race for the Conservative leadership, but that's another point altogether. But Hagar is very much the underdog. You see, last week it was all about Abram and Sarah. And Abram, remember the wonderful scripture from James where it says Abram was the friend of God. That's a bit like Alan, really. Alan was sitting here last week. Alan, who died just a night or two ago. It's this huge shock. Heaven is so close to earth, isn't it? Maybe today, as we look at Hagar, heaven and earth come together as the heavenly encounter, actually. Wonderful phrase that Dave has done for this whole series. So last week, it was mainly Sarah and Abram, Genesis 18, wonderful message, if you remember, about the three messengers. And although they'd waited 25 years for a child, 25 years, and yet they still, yes, Sarah, she's a human role model. She laughs and says, how can I on earth have a child at my age? And look at Abram in his old age. But they still believe, and a year later, Isaac is born. Here's Isaac. Isaac born. But today we're putting Isaac, no, we can't put them totally on one side because they're going to reappear. Sarah's not going to appear in a very good light. But we are coming to Abraham and Hagar. And if last week was the promise through Isaac, down through David, ultimately through Jesus, today it's Hagar, and through Hagar, the great tribes of Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. God hears. So it's through Ishmael and down to Muhammad, as the Quran would teach us, and through the great religion of Islam. So today it's Hagar, and it's Hagar in the wilderness. And you have to start at Genesis 16. I'm so sorry we've not got Bibles out, but some of you got a Bible. So it's two chapters today. Chapter 16, Abram, Sarah, Hagar. And then chapter 21, which is also Abram, Sarah, Hagar. And chapter 16, it's 10 years since the promise that Sarah was going to have a child. And she hasn't had one. They've waited 10 years, long time, gracious. And so she says to Abram, "Abram, go into your slave girl, Hagar, and she'll get you a child. She'll be a surrogate mum." That's what we call them nowadays, don't we? And Hagar actually becomes Abram's wife, and she conceives and is not wise. She looks with contempt at Sarah, who cannot conceive. And Sarah gets very angry, and she blames Abram and says, "It's your fault." And Abram comes back and says, "All right, if you say it's my fault, you do whatever you like to my slave girl, Hagar, also my wife, the Egyptian. Do whatever you like." It is such a mess, isn't it? Such a mess. Dominance, power, rivalry. The messy entanglements of life, as one woman theologian puts it. Life is so messy. It's your life, your family a bit messy, mine is, if I'm really honest. We hide it. I'm good middle class, you know, you don't show you're struggling with difficulties. So many families are a mess, or, you know, communication with one is difficult, if not impossible. All kinds of things happen in families. Happens right through Genesis. Esau and Jacob and Joseph and his brothers. It's right through terrible messes. The messy entanglements of life. And here, Hagar, how will she survive? She runs away. She's pregnant. She's alone. And she finds herself, praise God, by a spring of water. And the word Hagar, it means the wanderer. It came in chapter 21. She wanders in the desert. She's like Cain in early Genesis. Cain, after killing Abel, that was another messy entanglement, wasn't it? Cain killing Abel. So Cain wandering, going out as a wanderer. "You'll wander all your life," says God. "I'll preserve your life, but you'll wander." And here is Hagar, wandering, the emigrant. The word is used as the emigrant. Is also used as the one who is forsaken. And Sarah deals harshly with her. Now, this last week, my good wife, Diana, she was walking in Barnard's Green, and this is only water. I'm not going to put it on the carpet, so I'll put it on here. And as she was walking in Barnard's Green, she saw these. Now, some of you, it's not quite a rose. What is this? I'm not sure. But marigold, well done, Lois. Yes, well, it's a beautiful flower. And dear Diana, she saw it, and she loves flowers. She talks to flowers. And so she actually went and picked them up and brought them back home. And she put them in a rather better, lovely glass bowl we've got, but I didn't dare bring it this morning. But there they were. She brought it home and she put water in them. And if I was talking to these beautiful yellow flowers, I think I'd want to say, "How do you feel?" because I think it's a bit like Hagar felt. And I think the words I'd get would be something like, a bit forlorn. We've been chucked away by the supermarket, I think it was. Rejected, forsaken, lost, wandering. That's where we are. That's where we're at. Hagar feeling very much like that. And yet, isn't this beautiful? She's found by a well of water, a spring of water. The angel of the Lord finds her. Isn't that beautiful? This is chapter 16. You must go back and read Genesis 16. This is an epic, epic story. It's an amazing story. And the angel asks, or the angel is God in human form. That's how one I understand angels. And God says, where have you come from? Where are you going? I wonder how you answer that this morning for your life. Where have you come from? Oh, well, we come from home, we come to All Saints, going back home. Where have you come from? Where are you going? You ask Jesus. Jesus would say, I come from the Father, I'm in the world, I go to the Father, St. John's Gospel. Where have you come from? Where have I come from? Where am I going to? It's a huge, two huge questions. And here's a pregnant woman on her own, being really nasty to Sarah, running away. And what does God do? He finds her. That wonderful song, that wonderful from St. John of the Cross, Jackie, this morning, that, you know, before we begin to seek God, God is seeking us. God is seeing us. God comes to find us. And the word that God is given, it's a wonderful word, El-Ra'i, the God who sees. The God who sees, El-Ra'i. And the God says these amazing words to this woman pregnant with Ishmael. I will multiply your offspring so they cannot be counted. Isn't that marvelous? This is the God who would say to us this morning, whatever your life, if you're online, wherever you are in your home, whatever your life, God is the one who sees you. He comes to find you. And in a sense, Jesus, with that very seeing of the eyes of God in his life, the Son of God, when Jesus saw people, it was the eyes of God seeing people. He looks on a crowd, he sees them, and his heart's filled with compassion. He sees a young man so full of himself, you know, the kind of young man we'd want to turn away from, for heaven's sake, you know, you're only concerned with yourself and being right and getting everything right. Jesus looked upon him and loved him. That young man in his wilderness of being right, getting life right, that's a wilderness. None of us get it right. Jesus loves him. You think of Peter in his wilderness of betrayal. And the Lord, wonderful Luke, the Lord looked upon him and loved. The Lord looked upon him and Peter remembered. But it was the eyes of love, because Peter then goes and weeps bitterly, bitterly. That's the desert that Peter was in. Whatever desert you and I may be in, the Lord looks upon us with love. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He looks on Hagar with such love. Indeed, what a God. And it's the God who puts back Hagar. There's only water on this lovely floor, so it won't have done any harm. They're all now back. They're back home again. They've been found by Diana in Barnard's Green on Concrete Road. They've found a home, and they've lasted several days already, and they're as new. The God who sees. Lord, you see us this morning. You see me. All that I wish wasn't me. And yet in that wonderful opening hymn of worship, I come as I am. You see me, you love me. You're with me in the deserts of our lives. In the desert of your heart, the poet says, let the healing fountain start. Lord, in this worship this morning, as we come to communion, we say the words, blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of our world's suffering, who is known to us in the breaking of bread. Here is Christ this morning coming to us in bread, and dipped, these wafers dipped in the wine, the body and blood of Jesus, coming to us, coming to me. I'm with you in your desert. I'm with Hagar. Praise God. So we turn from chapter 16 to chapter 21. Ishmael is now 14 years old and Isaac is 2 years old. So Isaac's been born and Ishmael is a young teenager. So think of your grandson. Anyone got a 14-year-old grandchild? Look at them, look at them. This draws you to Hagar, doesn't it? Gracious. Mine haven't quite got to that stage yet, but Dave, you've got a 14-year-old son. So, you know, it draws us, doesn't it, when you get into these families. And so here's Sarah and Hagar, and there's a great feast. And Isaac is 2 years old, so he's going to be weaned. There's a huge feast. Everybody came. And probably no one really noticed Ishmael very much. It was all Isaac, and it was all Sarah and Abraham and Hagar somewhere away in the distance, I feel. And then the remarkable thing happens. Sarah looks at Ishmael. The 14-year-old looks at her son Isaac, and Ishmael is playing with Isaac. And Sarah doesn't like it. And she thinks, gosh, he, Ishmael, is going to have the inheritance which is for my son. What a messy entanglement. And what happens? Sarah notices, and Sarah, probably after the feast, I think, goes up to Abram and says, this son will not inherit this Ishmael. She doesn't, interesting, she can't even mention the name Israel, this son of Hagar. That's where this family mess has come. This son of Hagar will not inherit along with my son Isaac. You feel, gosh, is there a way through this family disaster? God makes a way through. I think it's so wonderful. 21 verse 12, God to the rescue. He says to Abram, do what you want to do with Sarah. Don't be distressed. Do what you want to do. And still he says, yes, Isaac is the son of your promise. But Ishmael, I'll make a nation of him. God is so inclusive. This is God's love. It's so inclusive. And so, Hagar is given, Abraham gives to Hagar a loaf of bread. I don't have the kind of skin I guess it was the skin of water was bigger than this, but this loaf of bread and a skin of water, and gives it to Hagar and Ishmael, the 14-year-old teenage son, and sends her into the desert the second time. How did Abram feel? How did Ishmael feel, a 14-year-old? What's happening to me, Mum, you know? And the water, she wanders, and that's what her name means, Hagar, the wanderer. She wanders in the desert. And the water runs out. And there's no spring. The first time in the desert, there was a spring of water that God provided. There's seemingly no provision. And so what does Hagar do? She puts the boy under the bushes. She goes some distance. I can understand that sometimes in the family. Pain can be so great I can't face it. Humankind, says T.S. Eliot, cannot bear very much reality. We can't. And in the family, it's, I think, more difficult than any. And she sobs. She weeps as in the distance under that bush. She sees her teenage son. And she lifts up her voice. And here again, it's the God who opens her eyes. And he says, actually, do not be afraid. Lift up the boy and hold him. It's a very physical relationship. It's lovely, isn't it, when you have a physical relationship with a child who's 14. Go on, lift him up, hold him. Hold him fast in your hand, and I'm going to make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she takes her bottle, which now was totally empty, and she fills it, and I guess she would have gone to those bushes and got hold of her, and she was with her beloved son, and just filled him with water after water to bring life back to him. And God is so much with the boy, and I'm just coming to the end now. God is so much with the boy. The boy, Ishmael, we don't hear much of him at the moment, but he goes off into the desert and he becomes an expert with a bow, so he can keep his life going, kill animals and whatever. And Hagar finds a wife from Egypt, because she was Egyptian. Well, Ishmael needs an Egyptian wife, fair enough. She finds one, and all this is God's provision for Ishmael. And the wonderful thing is, if you go to Genesis 25, when Abram dies, Ishmael, who's been in the desert, Isaac, who's been with Sarah and Abram, his parents, they come together. Abram's died, the father of them both, and they're together at the funeral. Genesis 25, verse 9. And from that, Ishmael has 12 sons are born to him, and through those sons, the Arab tribes, down to the prophet Muhammad and into the great religion of Islam. And Rebecca, if you remember, she has 2 sons, Jacob and Isaac. And the line is through Isaac, David, the Messiah. And for our Jewish friends, it's through David and through into Judaism. The God who sees, the God who opens eyes. And so this morning, Lord, as we just confess that this is such a moving story, but it's a story about our lives, the Hagar that's in each of us, the Hagar that is in a wilderness like so many around us now in this world. So many wildernesses around us. And yet you're there to provide. You see, you come to us. You feed us this morning with precious bread dipped into wine, body and blood of Jesus. And I'll just finish on this note, because a week last Wednesday we had the waiting room here, and the person leading it had a bowl, a yellow bowl, with a candle on it, and with a symbol like that, you can take what you want of it. But one person took from it in their own life, feeling very much like Hagar, struggling, huge anxieties, huge sense of I'm not good enough, a huge sense of failure. And this became a kind of anchor for that person. And when I talked with that person later, the person said they linked it with Jeremiah 31. This is where I just end today, because if you have opportunity to go back home, and it's Jeremiah 31 verse 2, which talks about Israel in the wilderness like Hagar, but Israel finds grace in the wilderness. And goes on, Jeremiah 31 2, finds rest, and then God says, I am the utterly faithful God, and I am the God whose loving kindness will never, never leave you. Grace in the wilderness. And what this person did was to bring together all the conflicts and anxieties in their life and let the grace in the wilderness, in her wilderness, in our wilderness, touch that and hold the two together. Hold them together. It takes great courage. Hold them together and say, Lord, for me, for the person on my heart, in my family, next door neighbour, people on my heart overseas, maybe a country particularly, Lord, grace in the wilderness. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, open our eyes. Open, may the eyes of our heart be enlightened. That's Ephesians 1. Lord, the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened. You're the God who sees us, who loves us, whose goodness and mercy will never leave us. Open our eyes this morning. Open my eyes to see that well of water, the spring of water welling up to eternal life. In the deserts of the heart, let the healing fountain start. In the prison of his days, teach the free person how to praise. Amen. And we've got a wonderful song, Jackie, now, haven't we? Where's Jackie? I've lost. Yes, she is. Will you announce that? Thank you so much. Thank you.
So, as we digest those words from Paul, from God, we're going to stand and sing, O God, you search me and you know me. Please stand. I'd like to have a seat. Patience is going to lead us in our prayers.
We're going to pray that our eyes should be opened to the needs of the world. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Loving God, as we sit in your presence, we pray for your beautiful but fractured world. Open our eyes to the needs of the world and give us strength to support communities in need. Our hearts continue to be drawn to the people of Ukraine and the continual suffering that is taking place. We thank you for all those people in this country who have opened their homes here to women and children from Ukraine and ask that you support them and their guests. We pray for all those supporting the country directly by taking much needed supplies of every kind. Open the eyes of those who can effect real change for the good of the country. We know that we live in a dangerous and unstable world, and evermore we pray that you will change people's lives for the better and bring peace where it is needed. We know that in many ways we have let down the people of Afghanistan. We ask your blessing on all those who are working behind the scenes to help people living in despair. Lord, thank you that in a world of despair you are our hope. In a world of darkness you are our light. In a world of sorrow you are our joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the Commonwealth Games, which are taking place in Birmingham over 11 days. We thank you for the opportunity to bring so many people from diverse countries together in the name of sport, enabling them to break down barriers and build friendships. We ask you to open their eyes and ears to all the opportunities for peace and friendship that this presents. Heavenly Father, we bring before you the Lambeth Conference, which is taking place in and around Canterbury and London at the moment. The conference theme is God's Church for God's World, walking, listening, and witnessing together. The conference will explore what it means for the Anglican Communion to be responsive in the needs of a 21st century world. 600 bishops represent Christian communities in around 165 countries, and we ask you to open their eyes and ears to the opportunities to work together in your name and heal the divisions that exist throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, our own country is in political turmoil as we change our Prime Minister and inevitably have different members of Parliament holding the offices of state. It is a critical time when so much needs to be done to deal with the effects of climate change, the ever-increasing costs of oil, gas and electricity, and the levels of poverty that are affecting so many of our citizens. We pray that you will open the ears of all those who are able to vote to make sure that they make wise decisions so that we have a stable and effective government. Finally, we pray for our own community and those we love. Bring your blessings and comfort upon them. We remember particularly this morning Alan Pardo and Trish Beecroft, who now rest with you. We ask that your Holy Spirit will be at work, opening our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. May we be transformed into your likeness. Merciful God, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So let's pull our prayers together in the words of the Collect. Generous God, you give us gifts and make them grow. Though our faith is small as mustard seed, make it grow to your glory and the flourishing of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let us join together in the words that the Lord taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So as we come towards communion, let's join in this prayer. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. So let us stand for the peace. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
As you feel comfortable, exchange a sign of the peace.
At the end of the service, at the back, I think Lois and Margaret are our prayer ministers this morning. And it just struck me, I've got some oil here, because a verse is Revelation 3, just before Revelation 3:20, that wonderful verse of the Lord coming and supping with us. like he is at the moment. He's our host this morning. And he says, it's amazing words, you're pitiable, you're weak, you're naked, you're forlorn, like Hagar. He says, take the salve of healing ointment to heal your eyes. I'm going to give this to Lois and Margaret. If anyone wants to have this ministry, the eyes of your heart enlightened, obviously not to put it into your eyes, but just on your forehead, to receive the eyes of your heart enlightened. I'm putting on this stole because it unites us with the worldwide church. Wonderful, the prayers, wonderful prayers you've led for us patients in the Anglican Communion this morning. The Bishop of Peru, known so well to dear B, my mind is just going round at the moment. Dear B, she's been with the Bishop of Peru very recently. This is Made in Peru, joins us with that worldwide Anglican Communion this morning. Now we come and we're using these wonderful words from the Iona community. So the words in white we say together, and when we come for the bread and the wine, the wafer, and we dip the wine in this morning, if we as you come forward, just form a semicircle, and Jackie and I will bring the sacrament to you, and we have some non-alcoholic and we have some gluten-free wafer as well. The table of bread and wine. So we say this together. The table of bread and wine is now to be made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all those who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth, in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, you who would like to have more, you who have been to this sacrament often, and you who may not have been for a long time, you who've tried to follow Jesus, and like all of us who have failed, come. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. Blessed together, blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of our world's suffering, who is known to us in the breaking of bread. And on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread. Having blessed it, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the wine. Having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." And together, loving God, it is through your goodness that we have this bread and wine to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made in the sharing of this bread. Together, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. And then together we say, "Look, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and wine. the gifts of God for the people of God. Come. So with Jesus, our brother, with us in the deserts of life, as so often he was in deserts. The bread and wine is like the bread and the skin of water, which brought new life to Abram, to Ishmael and to Hagar. Provisions in the desert. Provisions in the deserts of our lives. So as we just join a circle, I'd like to suggest that when we've given it, wait until the circle's been completed. So when you've received, just stay there, because it makes it more a communion together, to stay there, and when Jackie and I have given it to the last person, then quietly go and others come and form it. And if for any reason you don't feel able to receive, just come with your hands like this, and we would just love to bring God's blessing to you.
So let us say together the post-communion prayer. Lord God, whose Son is the true vine and the source of life, ever giving himself that the world may live, may we so receive within ourselves the power of his death and passion that is his saving cup. We may share his glory and be made perfect in his love. For he is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. So as we draw to the close of our service, let us stand and sing one final hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good gifts that you bestow on us. Accept these gifts and the gifts that go straight to your bank account, Lord, that we may use them wisely to promote and enhance your kingdom here on earth. Amen. So let's join in one of these final prayers. Creator God, you give seed for us to sow and bread for us to eat. Make us thankful for what we have received and generous in supplying the needs of others, so all the world may give you thanks and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, a lovely Celtic blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. So, together. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Amen. Have a good week, and there's coffee now. Bless you. Thank you.